Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I believe that the city attorney should recuse himself from carrying out the investigation. It's clear that he would not be able to be objective in this matter since he is the object of much of the dispute at hand. So I would like for my fellow council members to consider that.
I can be corrected if I'm wrong, but I don't believe the attorney is going to be conducting an investigation. Both of these resolutions are to send this to the authorities that would be in charge of those investigations. It would not be the city attorney investigating anything. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong on that. I just want to make sure I understood the resolutions correctly.
That'd be correct.
So, no surprise, Milton City Council had a meeting last night, and there was some drama. Although, I will say that in the grand scheme of dramatic sound clips, I would say that Milton underperformed. But... the actual substance of what happened last night is kind of like peak dramatic moment of the season. Like, this is really some serious stuff. So even though the sound clips were not quite as engaging and contentious as they often are, the actual underlying substance of what happened last night was very serious. So if you don't remember, following the complaint by Heather Lindsay to the Florida bar that Alex Andrade had violated his obligations as an attorney, which came to light and because Alex knew about it and he told the city council that the mayor was trying to get him removed as a lawyer a different way from the two last times that she tried to do it and did not succeed either time with called meetings and then an actual call and then canceled and then an actual called meeting with a vote. And remember, she has him blocked on her phone and will not talk to him, and it's not the best relationship. And so he told the city council, and the city councilman Jeff Snow asked him, hey, this is getting out of hand. We got all kinds of things that she's doing wrong around here. She's making staff uncomfortable. She's, you know, allegedly, okay, harassment, unpleasant workplace, exceeding her duties, plus pretending to be a representative of the entire city council when, in fact, she was only representing herself. Again, these are the allegations. So he says, can you prepare a report for the city council on what we can do? Because this is out of hand. Something's got to be done. So Alex prepares this big report. We talked about this, 2 weeks ago, I think? Well, last night they had a meeting, and the meeting was to actually vote on two articles of censure for the mayor. Article number one having to do with workplace difficulties, and article number two, commitment to a safe and productive working environment for all city staff was the name of it. And then article number two, it's actually number 22, but it doesn't really matter. It's 2022. A resolution of City Council of the City of Milton reiterating the role of the council and mayor. So complaint number one is she's making it hard to work here. And complaint number two is she's exceeding her authority and doesn't know her duties and is violating the charter. And these are pretty serious allegations. Because then it's a question of, do you censure her? As in, do you find the facts are accurate in the statements? Do you then vote that bad girl? Because that's what a censure is bad boy, bad girl. And then do you vote to have this investigated by somebody else to actually decide whether an attorney general or the ethics commission or the bar or the governor or whomever should take action against Heather Lindsay of some sort? So I'm just going to read you the two resolutions. The first one, whereas on January 30, 2024, Mayor Heather Lindsay submitted an official complaint to the Florida Bar on behalf of the city, but without the council's approval or knowledge. Remember, that was the issue, is that she went on her own initiative and then made it sound like she was going on behalf of the city. That's the allegation. And whereas within her complaint, the mayor accused the city's attorney of malfeasance, misfeasance, and actions violating the will of the city council. Whereas the mayor's accusations against the city's attorney were false, That's important because she's a lawyer signing a sworn statement to the Florida bar about things that are false, if that's what the city council votes, and then that gets determined. Whereas the city's, that'd be perjury, by the way. Whereas the city's attorney referenced actions were taken in furtherance of the will of the council and ratified by the council, as in she's trying to violate the will of the council in what she was doing. Whereas the city council believes that an official investigation of the mayor's interactions with the city attorney and other members of city staff is warranted to guarantee a safe and productive working environment for all members of city staff. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the city of Milton. Section 1, the city council hereby censures and condemns the mayor's actions related to the submission of her complaint against the city's attorney. Section 2, city council directs the city's attorney to conduct a review and submit questions regarding the mayor's interactions with members of city staff to any entity with jurisdiction to investigate and make findings regarding the mayor's actions, which may violate any law, ordinance, or duty which the mayor owes to the city. That was number 1, or 20, actually, but you understand that those numbers don't particularly matter. So how'd that vote go? Now, Jake, you haven't been doing this a super long time with me, but how do you think that vote is going to go? What's the number going to be?
Oh, man.
How many city council members in Milton are on Heather's side?
Two?
That's right. Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow. How many city council members are against her?
All six.
That's exactly right. So it's going to be a 6-2 vote.
That's with a 6-2 vote. I believe Councilman Farrow and Councilman Cusack voted in opposition.
That's exactly it. Not a surprise. And so that is moving forward. That means Alex Andrade will be filing questions with, again, you know, the Attorney General, perhaps with the Governor's Office, perhaps with the Ethics Commission, perhaps with the bar, perhaps with, I mean, we don't know. We'll see. Okay. Number 2, or 22. A resolution of the City Council, City of Milton, reiterating the role of the council and mayor, whereas the council and mayor are charged to follow and enforce the ordinances of the City of Milton within their respective roles as established under the city's charter, and whereas Mayor Heather Lindsay has taken actions the council believes exceed her authority under the city's charter and ordinances, and whereas the mayor has abused her authority to call special meetings and run council meetings. In other words, she's mismanaging the meeting she's supposed to run, and she has called special meetings to be abusive towards, again, the city attorney. Whereas the mayor has interfered with the work of the city manager on multiple occasions. Whereas the city council desires to reiterate and reassert the form of government of the city, which consists of a council that directs the work of the city manager, who executes the will of the council and serves as the chief executive for the operations of the city. Mayor doesn't have a lot of official roles in that. That's what they're saying. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the city of Milton. Section 1, the city council hereby censures. This is the second censure. And condemns the mayor's actions in exceeding her authority under the city's charter and ordinances. Section 2, the city council directs city attorney to conduct a review and submit questions regarding the mayor's interference with the will of the council and instances where she has exceeded or abused her authority under the charter and ordinances of the city to the proper entities possessing jurisdiction to review such questions. So censure number 2 is that she is overstepping her authority, violating the boundaries created for her by the charter, interfering with the operation of the city, that through the city, through both the called special meetings, the maintenance of the meetings, and then also by interfering with the city manager, formerly Randy Jorgensen, and then after that, Scott Collins. How do you think this vote is going to go? Jake, you're our man on the street. What's this vote going to be? How many in favor?
All six of those, yes.
And how many against?
2.
That's right. Marilyn Farrow, Mike Cusack.
That motion passed with a 6-2 vote, with Councilman Cusack and Councilwoman Farrow voting in opposition.
Done. So, like, I mean, there was a little bit of fireworks. We'll play you some of the semi-fireworks later on in the show, but that's the what happened. Now, if you want to understand why this matters, I mean, these are very serious allegations.
I may participate for a moment.
This is Alex Andrade.
Elected officials within the city, you all sit in a position of public trust that you've been entrusted with by the voters of the city. Incumbent within that position of public trust comes a duty of good faith to act transparently and to follow Florida law. At the same time, if there's credible evidence, for instance, that an elected official, namely the mayor, committed perjury in submitting this bar complaint, you also have a responsibility to investigate that. In this case, there is credible evidence the mayor committed perjury in submitting this bar complaint. There's also credible evidence that the mayor fabricated public records documents, and there's credible evidence that the mayor did not comply with Florida public records laws in using her private email account to subvert public scrutiny. There's credible evidence that the mayor conspired and collaborated with Don Molinaro's private attorney, Matthew Hargraves, to try and fabricate a claim against the city for wrongful termination. In your position as the city council, you have a duty to go investigate these instances because there's credible evidence. This is not at all personal for any individual.
So you have a wide range of allegations here, and the result of these various inquiries to state agencies, again, the bar, the ethics commission, the attorney general, potentially the governor, I don't know directly, because the governor would have the ability to remove an official. You have all kinds of possible consequences, all the way from nothing happens. And by the way, just remember that when she filed the complaint with the bar against Alex, they told her that that was a political maneuver by her, and they dismissed it within a week and said, this is silly. This is not the right venue for you to do that. Now, they didn't quote say it was silly. The way I read it is they said, this is politics. What are you doing? You know, it was a rebuke. And so the question is, would the bar find that her filing that against him for political reasons, would that itself be an abuse? Would perjury in that complaint get her disbarred? Would perjury get a criminal charge? Would subverting the will of the council or working against the interests of the city or creating a hostile work environment, would those things get her removed from office? Would they catch her ethics charges? Would voting to help Don Molinaro create a claim against the city by colluding with the attorney in order and creating false public records to create the illusion that certain things had not been done properly, would that catch a charge or an ethics violation or a removal from office? Now, it could catch nothing. Like, in the end, this could all get the same exact treatment that the Ethics Commission, that the bar did. And it could be, there's nothing here. This is just politics. It could get everything from criminal charges to disbarment to removal from office at the other end of the spectrum. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I would be surprised if it's zero. And other than zero, I don't think I'd be surprised by any outcome. Any other outcome is a possibility. 522 on News Radio 92.3. And by the way, she was not at the meeting. Apparently has not been at City Hall for a while, is a week or two. Is apparently not signing checks or allowing anybody to use her signature stamp to sign checks. So they had to do some workarounds in order to get some checks signed this last week. So, she says it's a medical, is what I've been told, but I don't, does that seem likely given everything else? 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
We used to argue about whose turn it was to clean the gutters, but then I had Leaf Filter gutter protection installed.
Wait, I told you Leaf Filter had free inspections and estimates and a lifetime guarantee.
Meaning we never have to argue about whose turn it is to clean the gutters again.
But I visited leaffilter.com/beacon first.
No, I did.
It doesn't matter who. Visit leaffilter.com/beacon to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Join Gordian Ad Litem on the Pensacola Expert Panel Friday. Board members Karen Jolly and Susan Fortier will be telling us about Corks for a Cause, which is an evening of wine, delicious hors d'oeuvres, and music coming up on April 18th to raise funds for the most vulnerable children in our community. Tune in Friday at 9:30 with the Northwest Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You are terminated.
Can I tell you just an odd little funny story that, I don't know, this might give you an insight into me a little bit. It might not, I don't know. But I used to work at a Christian teaching and talk station that was owned by Salem Radio Network, and I loved that job. It was a great job. And I played secular bumper music, which some of the deeply devoted Christians didn't love. Others loved it greatly, because I think there's a lot more of us than there are of the others, but that's okay. And I remember I specifically on that bumper, I edited out the, oh my God, portion, just because, you know, if you're going to already be troubling people that are your audience, maybe don't give them the extra reason to be troubled by what they might consider a blasphemy. I don't. I think blasphemy is much more serious than people casually mentioning God's name. But in any case, every time I hear that bumper, it always makes me think of my old job. So 526 on News Radio 92. God, that was a really fun job, too. For 7 years, I got to talk about theology and ethics. And, you know, every once in a while, we talked about news, like when we had to. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the Arizona Supreme Court has made their decision. They're bringing back the abortion ban law from 1864. That law from when Arizona was still a U.S. territory bans all abortions except for cases when there's a risk to the mother. Donald Trump is no longer on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index after Truth Social stock took a nosedive this week. The Bloomberg Index is a daily ranking of the world's 500 richest people, and the former president was on the list because of Trump Media, the parent company behind Truth Social. Shares in the company, though, have been steadily dropping now.
Yeah, he'd lost like a couple billion dollars over the course of the week in market value, right?
That'd make it tough to sleep at night,
I think. It's, let's see, I had the number here in front of me. I was just trying to grab it while you were talking about it. Former president owns a majority stake in the company. His stake was valued at about $2.9 billion on Monday, down from $6 billion on the debut. Oof. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you go up 6 one day, you go down 3 another day. It's just market forces. That's
See, I lost
is.
5 cents on my $10 of Bitcoin, and I had trouble today, so I'm...
Couldn't sleep. My stock went down 4%. Oh, I was like, tossing and turning all night. Go on, sir.
Hey, there's also a push to kick Lunchables off of school menus now. Consumer Reports...
dare they?
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Consumer Reports issued a warning this week saying the school cafeteria version of Lunchables, I didn't know there was a special version for school cafeterias.
I feel like that's a collector's item. Go on.
But apparently they contain too much sodium.
Yeah, because kids want to eat them.
It's what makes them so good.
So they're going to pull these out of the cafeterias is the idea?
Well, right now they, the nonprofit group says it's petitioning the USDA to remove the snacks from school cafeterias. So there's a push for it. I don't think there's been a lot of official movement that direction yet.
Former First Lady Michelle Obama here is the head of that organization pushing. You know, the rules that she put in, the heart is in the right place. But what every school cafeteria worker, teacher that I have ever encountered says is, yeah, they mandate that the kids get food and then the kids throw it out because they don't eat it. But they're required to give them the apple that they don't eat or what I mean? Like, they don't want the food that they do have and they do not want the food that they are given because of the artificial rules that went in to try to force them to eat healthy when none of them want to.
And yeah, kids don't want to eat healthy.
You can lead a kid to an apple, you know, but you can't necessarily force them to eat it.
I mean, the old school lunches before the health push were
the
great.
Best. Oh, yes.
You remember the school cafeteria pizza?
Corn dogs, pizza. Oh,
that,
no, tater tots.
So good.
That square pizza
was
the
best.
Bomb,
oh, it's the best.
Loved it.
I can feel my roof of my mouth burning right now when we're talking about it.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good. And you know it was always like 4 days old, right? I mean, it was warmed up so many times that it had that kind of like semi-rubbery, use it as mortar kind of consistency.
Just wipe the mold off and serve it to the kids.
That's
it was
right.
Great.
That's
yes.
Right. And look at us all today. We're all fine. We're all
right.
Fine.
The taste of freezer burn.
A little extra of us. Basically, because we're all a little fat, but that's okay. It's okay. A little hypertension, a little high blood pressure. Never hurt anybody. Well, it hurts a lot of people. Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, by the way, weather today, it's been downgraded a little bit. We had been expecting to get about 100 inches of rain. No, it's like, you know, 6 to 11 they were talking about. Now we're down to about 3. Still in the 3 out of 5 zone. Schools in Escambia are closed all day. Schools in Santa Rosa are, you know, shortened day. UWF is a shortened day. PSC is watching and waiting. And that's where you're at.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The impeachment trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas pushed back.
House Speaker Mike Johnson delaying sending those impeachment articles to the Senate until early next week. A White House spokesman calls the impeachment charges against Biden's DHS chief a PR stunt. Many Republicans would like President Biden to bring back Trump-era border policies, including Remain in Mexico, which Biden scrapped on his first day in office.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson in D.C. President Biden hosts the Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida today at the White House. They will discuss China, which FBI Director Chris Wray labeled the defining threat of our generation. Plenty of rain in the south. Yeah, that's Benbrook, Texas on Tuesday. And all of that moisture is heading east into Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and western Georgia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, and right now 69 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Again, we are expecting a possibility of some severe weather later on today.
We're mainly looking at a start time of around 2 p.m. potentially of it arriving here, and then that will last through late Wednesday night. With this severe risk, Escambia County is included in that level 3 out of 5 enhanced risk.
And that is Escambia County's public safety meteorologist, Scott Lynn Williams. The Escambia School District says schools and district offices will be closed today due to that threat. That does, of course, include all extracurricular activities as well. The Weather Service forecasting an enhanced possibility of strong tornadoes, severe thunderstorms, and flash flooding today. Santa Rosa schools also on an early release schedule today. Community schools, after-school programs, extracurriculars there canceled this evening. UWF closing at noon, and ECAT suspending all of their service today, including the UWF trolleys, administrative offices, and customer service. We'll have more on our weather here in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson from Channel 3. Santa Rosa County leaders confirming that fraudster apparently was able to intercept over $850,000 that was sent to a vendor who does business with the county.
There is an ongoing investigation with several branches of law enforcement that are involved and bank investigators with one of the banks that we work with.
That's County Administrator Devan Cook, and he says a substantial amount of the money has been recovered. Milton Police and both Truist and Regions Banks are working to recover the full amount. County Clerk and Comptroller Donald Spencer says the vendor was the victim of a business email compromise that allowed the fraudster to redirect that money to their from their account to a fraudulent account. Both the FBI and Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office are involved in that investigation. Well, a transgender teacher has won a legal victory in her battle with the state. A federal judge yesterday sided with a Hillsborough County teacher who sued over a 2023 law. The law requires teachers to use the pronouns that correspond to their sex at birth. Teacher Katie Wood claimed that violated the First Amendment. The judge issued a preliminary injunction blocking the state from punishing Woods for violating the law. The injunction does not apply to other teachers, though. The judge wrote in a 60-page ruling that Florida has a First Amendment problem that happens so frequently, you can set your clock by it. And it is 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It is a weather alert day as showers and thunderstorms are expected to move in this afternoon, lasting through the evening hours. A few storms could be strong, level 3 out of 5 of severe weather for today. High today near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. Thunderstorms come to an end by about 10 p.m. tonight, and then we look calm as we go into Thursday. Sunny skies, high near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 69 degrees in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 66 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. More than 200 chemical plants nationwide will be required to reduce toxic emissions that are likely to cause cancer under a new rule that has been issued by the Environmental Protection Agency. The group's action is aimed to reduce emissions of chloroprene, ethylene oxide, and 4 other likely cancer-causing air pollutants. The law applies to facilities spread across the U.S., with more than half in Texas or Louisiana. Plants are also in Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, and more. A closely watched Labor Department report will be released later today, and it is expected to show that little progress has been made in the battle to bring down inflation. The Consumer Price Index is predicted to say costs increased by 0.3% for all items. On a year-over-year basis, that would put respective inflation rates between 3.4 and 3.7%. The report drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Futures are little changed. That's your money now.
Getting quality
Email from school. How about the incident today?
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night, too. Did you have a clue?
No, but you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
All right, Right. So that was a brief look back into the town hall from last week with Kerry Smith, where you had Michael Stevens showed up to cause trouble and wanted to have his peace, and then gets into a shouting match. You sit, you sit, you sit, you sit. Then Kerry comes over and kind of intervenes, puts his hand on Michael Stevens, and Michael Stevens does what I have repeatedly described as the very best soccer flop you've ever seen. Oh, my arm, as he like deliberately puts his arm behind him, and then falls into the guy that he was arguing with. That's the funny thing. He probably does more physical harm to the person that he was arguing with than Kerry did to him, but this has gotten into a big drama where people are claiming that, you know, Kerry Smith battered Michael Stevens and all of this. It's just absurd. But yesterday we talked with Sheriff Chip Simmons about this before we got into other things. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm entertained. Thoughts on whether what you saw constitutes a battery?
Well, no, my understanding is that I'm assuming that Santa Rosa County has taken a look at it and they've chosen not to pursue charges, and I would agree with them. It does not appear to be a battery. It'd be unlikely for us to press charges in that case.
It would be unlikely for us to press charges. I love that answer. All right. Turning now to our own county, Escambia County, where we have, you know, always kind of have our own issues. Just a follow-up question. The incident that took place where they had the big party near the Boys and Girls Club, there had been a lot of uncertain things about this, including who was responsible, who didn't get permits if they were needed, and all of that. And you've got some follow-up arrests, because this was the case where the officer waded into a big group of people and then was arresting a daughter, and the mother came up and clocked him in the back of the head, and another deputy got hit with a cinder block, and a completely unrelated third person got shot in the leg by himself at that time. So lots of stuff around that incident. What can you tell us now?
Yes, all that happened. all that seems to have
just
happened.
Happy Easter.
Yeah,
it's like a Walker family reunion over there.
And that's not going to be on cops?
No, I don't believe it was.
All right.
There were three people that, at this point, based on video and the follow-up investigation, that have been arrested. One is the mother, Ms. Robinson, I believe is her name, and then two daughters that were also arrested. So we have made all felony arrests in this particular case, and it continues. There's some video that we're still taking a look at, and if we can identify some other people that need to go to jail, then they certainly will.
Okay, and I assume the three were the cinder block, the daughter, and the mother.
That's correct.
Then the gunshot is a no arrest.
No, that was an accidental. He shot himself.
I hope. Accidental. But lawfully in possession, a minor?
No,
a minor?
He was a teenager. We're going to follow up on that. But okay. He's already got a shot in the leg, so we'll figure out what we're going to do. Yeah.
Okay. When things are appropriate. Then we had, good Lord, this is a crazy story. You have an RV on the side of the road, okay?
Right.
And your deputy showed up. I think I know what happened, but you tell the story.
Well, it was a suspicious circumstance. Was it a crash? Was it a stalled vehicle? Was it a medical call? And the first thing they do is call the sheriff's office. And at the same time, they're also calling firefighters and EMS crew. And so when we get there, we notice that there is an RV that is angled off of the road, angled in such a manner which apparently the door couldn't be opened on that one side. And the gentleman, I'll call him, that was there, was unable to get his, I think, 80-year-old grandmother out of the RV. So they required assistance, and she needed medical attention. He had two dogs with him. He was instructed to put the leashes on these two dogs, rather large dogs, and then to move away so that we can render aid. So the volunteer firefighters had shown up so they can render aid. So the gentleman, again, I use that term, puts the dogs.
You're clearly not super comfortable with that descriptor, but all right, go on.
Puts the dogs on a leash and walks them over away from the area. The firefighter moves forward.
So he's
done
what he's supposed to do in the beginning.
Initially, yes, he complies. And then for some reason, he decides he's going to take the leashes off of the dogs. And one dog did what he had already said. This gentleman already said that, hey, these dogs are aggressive when they feel threatened. Okay, put leashes on them
right.
and move them
right.
away from the scene. He decided to unleash the dog, at least one of the dogs, at this point, and that dog bit the firefighter, and our deputy shot the dog that was unleashed and actively attacking the firefighter. Mm-hmm. And then we turned to the other dog, who is now, you know, being held back by the collar by this man, and told him, you have to control your dog initially, and then he's complaining and resisting and doing all sorts of things. We end up tasing him, and animal control takes custody of the dog, and the 80-year-old female was treated and seems to be in good condition.
So good news is that the volunteer firefighter is going to be okay. The bites are not that bad.
Well, I mean, he got bit in the arm, so I understand. Okay. So I'm assuming he's doing okay.
So I know the question that a lot of people ask. I think it's kind of, you're missing the point of all this, but people have asked the question, you know, well, do they train deputies to shoot dogs? Because, I mean, well, I ask you. I mean, I know what I think about that situation, but your answer?
We train deputies to protect people. And if a dog is attacking an individual, a child or whatever, then we're going to take whatever action. Sometimes it's pepper spray. Sometimes it's, you know, just scaring the dog. Sometimes it's kicking the dog away. But sometimes, unfortunately, it's using lethal force on an animal.
Yeah, I mean, the dog got shot because the dog was biting the volunteer firefighter who's trying to get into give aid to somebody who's in distress.
The dog got shot because the owner
didn't
keep control of the dog.
Right. He knew they were aggressive dogs. He let them off the leash for reasons that pass understanding, and the dog winds up dead. It's you know, the dog is what the dog is, but the owner's the one who's really responsible for that.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And he went to jail.
For that, right?
He went to jail, yeah. And yes.
I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this before. We go on bike rides all the time, and we encounter dogs all the time, and I carry a bat and a gun. And I will tell you that so far, I've only ever had to use the bat. But I've been in a situation where, you know, the gun wasn't readily accessible to me. And had it been, I would have used it because I had a pit bull attacking me on my foot. The other day, it's funny. We're biking past a house and this pit bull, it's not always pit bulls, but it happened to be, runs out and is barking at my wife and me. And you don't know. And so I get the bat out, and I wave it around, and the dog's first confused, and then he runs away. And the owner is like, no, you don't have to worry about him. He's fine. He's not going to bite you. I'm like, how on earth would we know that? Sir, control your dog. You know? You're just
aren't
lucky.
Those famous last words? He's friendly, then the dog bites an individual.
And again, taking him off the leash, it's just crazy to me.
I don't know why he would think that was a good idea. And clearly it was not.
Right. And he wound up getting, he was holding the other dog like he wouldn't get, which I kind of understand. At this point, he's agitated. Something awful's happened to his dog, and I can see why he wouldn't be in a good state of mind at that point.
Which he brought upon himself.
Right.
By the way.
Self-inflicted
just so we're
trauma. And then, you know, he's
don't
getting told what to do.
Don't do something stupid and then blame us for that.
Right. I saw Mike Wood, good friend of yours, I know, had made the comment the other day that why is it the criminals are always getting mad at cops for punishing them for the stuff they do? You know, like that's just okay. I did get a text in here, and I don't know the answer to this question, so I'll ask you. In that incident, could the deputy have used a taser instead of a gun? Why not tase the dog instead of killing the dog?
I think that people need to understand the taser. The taser has a couple of prongs, and they expand at a certain distance. And the dog was actively attacking an individual. And it doesn't take much for a dog to get an artery or to get a leg or an arm or a neck even. In that case, the deputy decided in his discretion that he needed to take immediate action. And when you need to protect life, the first thing you do is, you know, use the most effective weapon that you can use, and that was a firearm in this case.
And these dogs are pretty.
We tase dogs a lot. I mean, we do try to use a taser, but again, a dog's typically not as big as a human. The target area is not as big as a human, and you know, we're at that point, we had to make sure that something worked right now.
And you know, I mean, the dog, to say it was aggressive was an understatement. A very serious, hefty, big, scary dog. I mean, you know, as you say, attacking somebody in the arm and they can grab a hold of an artery just as quickly as anything else. So it's a life-threatening situation, potentially.
And we hate it. I mean, we all love dogs, and I'm more angry with the owner of the dog than certainly I am the dog. The dog is doing probably what he was either told or bred or trained to do, and try to protect, you know, whoever. Right. We're not happy about having to do this, but this just comes with the territory. We have to do what we can to protect lives.
Absolutely. We also had, I guess, a student showed up at C.A. Weiss with a gun last week.
Yes, that's correct.
Anything else that?
We did a preliminary investigation, and we're working with the school district. It does not appear to be a situation where the child had the wherewithal to know what he was doing.
Okay.
And then so we went back.
Do we have an age on the student?
It was under 10, I believe. The child was under 10. Originally, there was a thought there was a 12-year-old, but that term determined that was not the student that brought the gun in.
Got it.
But it was an individual under 10, not in a position where they would understand what they were doing. And then we moved the investigation to how the child picked up the gun.
Okay.
And the investigation has revealed that there appears to have been some pretty decent safety measures taken, But the child still was able to get the gun. So there's what we look at is whether the reasonableness of what you have done. Right? You know, did you put it on the breakfast table while someone's eating breakfast? That's not good. Did you put it on the floor? That's not good. The couch? That's not good. But if you secure it and you hide it or lock it in a drawer and somehow children can get into a number of different places that we probably wouldn't imagine. So that's why we always encourage people to have a really sturdy lockbox.
Take an effort to secure the gun, the child still gets it and does something
reasonable
you're much less likely to have a charge against you. Whereas if you're leaving it about being reckless or give it to the child, then you are going to catch a charge.
That's correct. If you're negligent, then you'll probably be charged. If the steps you've taken are reasonable, then we will take that into account.
Very good. COPS is showing y'all, but that's not from spring break this year, right?
Yeah, that was from last year, 2023.
Takes a year delay.
Sometime delay. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Just in case people saw that, like, I thought the sheriff said nothing bad happened in spring break. Well, this year.
Well, I mean, how bad was it? I mean, you've got tens and hundreds of thousands of people throughout the entire spring break time. And we really, things have been going pretty well. It went actually pretty well last year. I think what I didn't see it this year, but as I understand, they were showing some life-saving measures that our deputies did on an individual that accidentally shot himself. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it is just, you know, routine kind of stuff. The stuff that you just want to see, proactive police work that's out there in the beach to make sure that our beach doesn't become what some other beaches have become. I don't want to name their names, but they got a lot more troubles at other beaches.
I got you. Is beach duty desirable?
I think for the most part it's desirable.
I mean, do people ask to be assigned to the beach? They do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you ride four-wheelers and you ride, you know, ride around the beach and you wear shorts and, yeah, you get a tan, all that sort of thing.
It's like Baywatch.
You can always tell who's glasses. From the beach when you have the all stations muster. You can tell who's out at the beach duty. All right. The other thing I wanted to ask you just briefly about is, you know, obviously we've been talking about Blue Angels traffic around the base. Mm-hmm. That is a combination ownership problem, right? The base owns some of this problem. The county owns some of this problem. The roads, law enforcement in terms of making sure people clear intersections and aren't impeding the locals and all that kind of stuff. My understanding is we've got some hashtag striping put in to tell people can't have a car sitting on this. What else is being done? Your perspective on this issue?
We had a meeting yesterday morning. A number of us met. Commissioner Kohler spearheaded it. We met at the base. We met actually at the museum. And the base commander was there as well. Florida Department of Transportation was there. We were all there discussing this. West Marina was there. And really what we talked about is the large number of people that wanted to get into a small choke point into the NAS to watch the training. And what we discussed some of the same things we discussed back in 2017 when we met at the back gate of NAS. We asked a question, and I don't think I'm telling any secrets. We asked a question, can we open the front gate? Base commander says no. Okay. Can we have a reservation? Only so many will get in line. And they said if they could do that, they're going to look at that, and it just may take some time. May not be this year, be next.
Okay.
Then Commissioner Cole and I have been talking over the last couple of weeks about getting these what I'll call prohibited zone stripes to remind people, as you're waiting in line, don't block the intersection of these neighborhoods where people can still go the other way. But other than that, quite honestly, we looked at it. We had deputies. We hired a number of extra deputies a couple years ago, and they just stood there and watched cars that were standing still, and there was nowhere to put the traffic. Much like we have at the beach, where you don't have any room for the cars to go, they're going to sit there, and you're going to have to wait. This is what the situation is at the beach. I think that I came away with the thought that we are fortunate to have Pensacola NAS. We are fortunate to have the Blue Angels. I think it's a privilege to have the opportunity to go on the base and to watch them. Not air shows. They're not calling it air shows. This is training. The Blue Angels are training here. They're practicing here, and they're kind enough to allow people to come in and watch this air show. You know, I'm like everyone else. I stop for a second, look up at the Blue Angels, and I'm thankful that I live in this country. It's a little patriotic moment for me. And so my message, I guess, to NAS, those who are blaming NAS, is thank you for giving us this opportunity, mm-hmm. And thank you for being here. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for allowing people to come on the base. Those who haven't been to the museum, it's a fantastic museum, and it's just because it's such a great attraction, it's going to attract a number of cars.
Yep.
Now, does spring break exacerbate this? Probably. Does it wane later on in the summer? It does a little bit. But unfortunately, there's going to be traffic there, and there's nothing for the deputies to do but stand there again and look at the traffic. The traffic engineers from the county were there. They were working on the lights. But again, you can have a green light, but if there's nowhere to go, you can't go anywhere.
Right.
So the situation is what the situation is. It is a blessing, but also, you know, it's an inconvenience for some of the people. And I feel for them, and we're making efforts to alleviate the problems at their entrance to their neighborhood. But other than that, it's just one of those fantastic nuisances.
Yeah, it's the kind of problem you're glad to have, and we didn't have for a few years, and we're kind of glad to have it back, even though it is a problem.
As I understand, they had like over 20,000 requests, written requests to open the base, and so the Navy acquiesced,
they did, right.
And they opened the base, and now we have some people
it.
That are yeah. still,
yeah.
you know,
I,
so
I
upset about
that.
It. And I'm not downplaying some of their concerns, but I can tell you that. I'm not really aware of one of the concerns was that they couldn't get emergency vehicles and locations. Sheriff's deputies get called to medical conditions. We get called to everything.
Right.
And I'm not aware of a single time where we couldn't get through the traffic if we needed to, because our guys we're pretty good at road, driving
you
on
can get
off
where
the
you
road.
Need to go.
And getting
I understand. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, a pleasure. A week from this weekend, we're going to have the crops, crawfish, and cars, and we'll talk about that next week when you have you on. Thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are putting off thinking about that next vehicle, I don't know, maybe you're not like me, but that's how I always approach it. I always wait too long because I don't like change and I hate going to shop for a car. I don't really know anybody who gets up in the morning and is like, yay, let's go shop for a car. I mean, it's work and research and prices and uncertainty, and it's a big change and it's inconvenient. Well, Frontier gets that. And they know that, you know, you might have not had the best experience before when you were buying a car. And they have tried to make the process there as less that as possible, you know, just to make it easy. Like, the cars are just open. You don't have to go ask for the ability to sit in them. If you want to go test drive one, go test drive one. Test drive five. You know, that's fine. For us, we went to just test drive a car to see if that was the car we wanted to buy, the kind of car we wanted to buy, probably 4 to 6 months later, because we knew our van was going, but it wasn't dead yet. And, you know, we test drove what we called our unicorn, couldn't find one anywhere else, found one, Honda Odyssey, that make model. And then we loved it so much, they asked us about a price. We said, oh, that's okay. Can you come down? Yes. Can you give us a day? Yes. Can you come down again? Yes. Can we buy it? I mean, it was really that simple. It just, like I said, the best car buying experience I've ever had in my life. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Got a bug problem, or worse, a rodent situation? Insect makes pest control for your home easy and effective. First, Insect thoroughly inspects the problem and provides you with a free estimate and a treatment plan. Then once on the job, Insect identifies targets and eliminates common household pests, including rodents, roaches, ants, and fleas, with guaranteed results. Insect's professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside, while also taking preventative steps to stop other pests from infesting your home. Afterwards, a report with pictures will be emailed to let you know what was found and the work that was performed. To make it even easier, Insect offers annual and quarterly pest control services to stop pests from infesting your home. Guaranteed. Outside, inside, from inspection to treatment to follow-up. Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. Just say no to bugs. Join the Insect family today online at insect.net. That's ENSEC.net.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join them Friday as they detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers. It's time to get out and play. Tune in Friday at 9 a.m. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month.
I'm
right. We'll be back and we'll be back next hour. We'll talk more about some of the news, including out of the city of
Memphis. Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.